Lectionary Lab Live is recorded by Two Bubbas and a Bible, live from Gainesville, Florida, and Brasstown, North Carolina. Welcome, everybody, to the Lectionary Lab Live. I'm John Fairless. I'm not here with my bubba today. Delmer Chilton is on grand paternity leave, as many of you have seen and reacted to our Lectionary Lab Facebook page. Delmer became a grandfather for the first time this past week, and I can tell you for certain he is enjoying his time with his new little grandson, Luke Chilton. Our congratulations to Delmer and his wife, Deborah, the new grandparents, to his son and daughter-in-law. And, you know, it's just appropriate for us to give him a little bit of time this week to enjoy that. But I thought I would take just a couple of minutes here and give a few ideas for preaching. As we're thinking this week coming up, we are approaching the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. These are the texts for July the 8th, 2018. For those of you that have been following along, and I know there are a number of you that are preaching from the continuous readings that are in the Hebrew Scripture this summer from 1st and 2nd Samuel, other texts later on, basically following the story that surrounds David as the king of Israel. David, that prototypical image for us, especially those of us who read the Hebrew Scripture through Christian eyes. David is the forerunner of Christ, whom we understand to be Messiah. David is sort of the pinnacle for the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, in terms of God with us, God with the people. David acts mightily in the redemption of the nation of Israel. We've been following that story along. Of course, we began with Samuel and the people's demand for a king, and we were through the life of Saul. We saw the tragic ending of that this past Sunday, and we basically just read David's lament and sat with that for a while, how heartbreaking it is to lose someone that you love, and how heartbreaking it is, how it rends us when we realize the, the degree of sorrow that comes, the heartbreak that comes when we see the results of poor choices in the life of someone we love. Saul just never could quite be the obedient man after God's heart that God was searching for. And we've been watching behind the scenes in the call of David, who is not a likely suspect, if you will. Saul, when he was chosen by the people, was tall and handsome and good-looking and was a head taller than everyone else. David, when he was chosen by God to be anointed as the future king, was quite literally the runt of the litter of seven sons. David was the last one to be brought out. They really kind of were almost embarrassed to bring him out. And yet, this is the one that God has chosen. This is the one where God has looked into David's heart and said, this is the one who's going to have what is needed in order to deliver my people. So David kind of had to sit with that for a while. David had to wait, and really, in being respectful to Saul out of what I believe was indeed a love for Saul and certainly a respect for him as the anointed of God, David waited. And that's probably a theme I would use to get into this part of the cycle that we're reading today. It is time for David to begin to ascend. He has grown, he has worked, he has fought, which in this day and time was an important aspect. He has led Israel in a number of successful victories. And now that Saul is gone, and now that the nation is looking for what God is going to do in terms of their next leader, it's time for David to step up. I think it's interesting to note, though, that David has indeed waited. David has been biding his time, or as I have written in our lectionary lab commentary, David has been biding God's time. David has waited very patiently while all the drama that was part of Saul's life has played out. Even though David knew that he had been anointed by God, chosen by God, that no less of a person than the prophet, judge, priest, Samuel himself, had laid his hands on him, David has had to wait. He's done what's been set before him. No more, no less. Oh, that included, you know, dodging some threats on his own life by Saul. It had to be difficult to wait all of that time. But David was not going to press ahead in his own time. He has waited. And now in God's time, it has come to pass. And David's rule, David's kingship, will indeed include many, many victories. 40 years, the text for today tells us, David ended up ruling over Israel and Judah. And that 40 years of rule, that 40 years of success, were built during the very patient days and weeks and months that David waited and that he quietly served. We never really know exactly what we're being prepared for when God's call to service comes to us. And David's life is an example of that. Now, let me just say, with a bit of foreshadowing, and most of us know the story of David, even though David was a man after God's own heart, and even though David becomes the height of what to symbolize what God is doing in the life of the nation of Israel, even though David is going to become the forerunner of Jesus himself, of our Lord Jesus Christ, David is not a perfect person. And it was David who spoke the words in last week's text, "How the mighty have fallen." Well, those are going to be a little bit of a presage, if you will, a little foreshadowing of what's coming. We're going to come back to that, and we're going to deal later with David's own poor choices and with David's own refusal to follow the way of God in his own life. But a great text today in the continuing saga, the value of waiting, the value of serving, and even if you know that through a word from God or just a sense that you have that greater days are ahead, sometimes you just got to wait and see what God is doing today. What is it that I have today that is right in front of me? Well, I have some notes here from Delmer, and already I miss hearing his voice and having him expound on these ideas, but I really like what Delmer has done. He's got a sermon that'll be published on Living Lutheran this coming week. Some of you may regularly look at that if you haven't before and you want to pick up Delmer's sermon for July the 8th. You can go to the Living Lutheran website and look for the lectionary sermon of the week, and you'll see it. I love this story that Delmer leads off his sermon with. I've heard him tell it a few times, and having watched his sons grow up, they're pretty much contemporaneous with my own children. I love this story about his younger son. Delmer says, "My younger son was playing coach pitch baseball. They weren't a very good team, and they lost a lot more often than they won. But they were 7 years old, and most of them had the attention span of a gnat. They spent most of their time jostling and picking on each other. They seldom knew much about what was going on. even when they themselves were at bat or in the field. After each game was over and they lined up to shake hands with the other team, I would hear the boys asking their coach, "Did we win? Did we win?" And if the coach said yes, then they would cheer. And if the coach said no, then they would kick the ground. And then, inevitably, the question would come, "Well, what's for snack?" You know, kids have a whole different view on winning and losing than we do as adults sometimes. And Delmer has chosen as a theme this week, tying our other scripture lessons for today, that gospel text with Jesus, not really able to accomplish much in his hometown, sort of having a losing day, if not a losing season, if you will. Paul, the apostle who opens up and talks about some of the bitterest disappointments of his own ministry, even Ezekiel the prophet. All of these were in a time of loss. Now, pastors, we can understand that. There are seasons in our ministries which just don't seem to go all that well. And as a wise old pastor told me many, many years ago, "Son, just be sure that you've got the call. Be sure that God has called you to this ministry, because some days things are going to be going just so bad that is all you're going to have to hold on to. That's all you're going to have to go on." Well, we've got three stories here today that have sort of the subject of losing or things not going so well. What do we do? Ezekiel, a prophet to whom no one would listen. Paul, who has, among his other apostolic duties, often been involved in dramatic healings and yet cannot heal himself. We also have Jesus, the preacher, the teacher, the rabbi, the miracle man, who, when he comes to his own hometown, could work no miracles there. And Delmer points out for us that each of them learned a valuable lesson from their failure. You've got to know how to know when a loss may not be a loss at all, but rather may be a win. Remember, we're in it for the long haul. I want to thank Dr. Ken Weathersby for telling me that a number of years ago in my ministry in an earlier parish. Brother John, just remember, you're in it for the long haul. And every one of these today, Ezekiel, Paul, Jesus, their ministries were made up of a lot more than what happened on any single day. Now, I want you to stop and think about that. Even when it comes to Jesus himself, his ministry was made up of a lot more than what happened on any one individual day. And yes, I mean including the day that Jesus goes to the cross. As important and significant as that day is, it is not in and of itself the entire ministry of Christ. And we need to remember, pastors, and we need to help our people remember, because they're acquainted with loss. They're acquainted with losing streaks. They're acquainted with how it feels to have things appear in a shambles in almost every part of your life. And we need to remember that any particular day is not a lifetime, and any particular season in ministry is not our entire ministry. Ezekiel has to keep on plugging, and God tells Ezekiel, "Now look, my call to you is to deliver the message." And in verse 5, notice that he says, "Whether they hear or whether they refuse to hear, they shall know that there has been a prophet among them." Ezekiel had to get really tuned in to what it was that God called him to do. That was to deliver the message. We're still reading Ezekiel's words, so I guess he succeeded in what it was God asked him to do. When we come to the Apostle Paul, we read today about his thorn in the flesh. And we all know there's been all kinds of speculation about exactly what that meant. I'm not even going to try to go into that. I'm sure if you read some commentaries, you'll find any number of different ideas. It doesn't really matter what Paul's thorn in the flesh was, what it was that was holding him back. What we know is that Paul prayed very hard. He said, three times I prayed and asked God to take this away from me. Paul prayed long. Paul prayed hard. Paul prayed and worked very faithfully for that thorn to be removed. And yet, it just wasn't. Paul had to work his way through this crisis of faith. Paul had to work his way through what it meant to not have his prayers answered, at least not in the way he was hoping for. And again, that's an important tie into the lives of the folks that we're going to be preaching to. Many of them could say, yeah, I've had some things I prayed for, and I just didn't get the answer that I was hoping for, the answer that I thought God was going to give me. And yet there's an answer. Paul's thorn in the flesh could have been an experience that shattered his trust in God. But it didn't. Instead, it humbled him. And it led to a strengthening of his faith in God. Well, and what do we say about the story of Jesus returning home to preach? You know, I don't know how many of us have had the opportunity to go back to a home church or to a community where we grew up, to go back especially to a church that might have nurtured us and helped us to identify a call and perhaps supported us and sent us on our way, maybe even ordained us. In my tradition, we are often ordained in the home church that we grew up in, if that's possible. You know, the old saying, you can never go home again. That's a whole lot more, that's about a lot more than just physically going back. Things are never quite the same when you go back home, are they? Jesus has been having quite a lot of success as we've been reading through the early chapters here in the Gospel of Mark. Lots of people have come to hear him preach. We just read last week the story of the dramatic raising of the daughter of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, and the healing of the woman with an issue of blood. Jesus has been doing some great things. And when he comes to Nazareth, his hometown, he's greeted not by enthusiasm, but by skepticism. Well, isn't this Mary's son? Isn't that the carpenter? Why does he get all of these things he's saying? Just who does he think he is? The text says they took offense in him. And Jesus couldn't do the miracles there. He couldn't perform the healings. Maybe a lot to think of here in terms of the role of our own faith, our own participation in what we will allow God to do in our lives and in our churches. The text, in one of the most, I want to use the word ironic. I don't know if this is really ironic, but it certainly is revealing. It certainly is poignant. The text tells us that Jesus was amazed at their unbelief. Absolutely stunned. They won't even let me try. They won't even believe just a little. How much faith does it really take for us to believe that God can be present, that God can work in our lives, that God can do incredible things? I want to wrap up with Delmer's words to his sermon, and I want to thank him for lending it to me. It's given me lots of thoughts going in my own head. Here's Delmer's summary. That day in Nazareth, Jesus had a loss that was a win. From it, he learned the limits to his power. He learned that you can control what you say, you cannot control what people hear. He learned that you can control what you do, you cannot control how people respond. Jesus learned that you can control how you show your love. You cannot control how people receive it. I think somewhere in all of that, there's a good word for us this week, brothers and sisters, and I pray that there's going to be a good word at work in you as you stand and deliver, as you minister among the people God has given you. Delmer will be back next week, and so Two Bubbas and a Bible will be back in high form or low form, whichever you think that might be. And so I really don't think there's much today that we can do other than to imagine Delmer telling us, everybody, bye. Lectionary Lab Live is a Two Bubbas and a Bible production. Our opening theme is Lock and Key by Silent Partner. We go out this session with the meditative sounds of the soundtrack from The Field of Dreams. This is the setting known as Shoeless Joe, composed by James Horner, copyright Universal Pictures Film Music.